Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. 2 weeks ago, California Governor Gavin Newsom issued an executive order directing state and local officials to clear thousands of homeless encampments.
I don't think there's anything more urgent and more frustrating than addressing the issue of encampments in the state of California. Over the course of the last number of years, the state has stepped up, where in the past we provided no support, no resources to cities and counties to clean up encampments like this. Today, we've invested now over $1 billion in encampment resolution grants, not only to clean up sites like this, but to address the underlying issue in the first place. One of the big issues, though, that has been an impediment was the courts. In the past, the courts have denied the ability for local government, including the state, to clean up many of these encampments. Today, I announced an executive order to move the process forward. We're done. It's time to move with urgency at the local level to clean up these sites, to focus on public health and focus on public safety. There are no longer any excuses. $1 billion this state has invested to support communities to clean up these encampments. We have now no excuse with the Supreme Court decision. This executive order is about pushing that paradigm further and getting the sense of urgency that's required of local government to do their job.
In late June, the six conservative justices on the Supreme Court ruled that cities can fine and arrest homeless people for sleeping in public spaces, even if they have nowhere else to go. Governor Gavin Newsom and San Francisco Mayor London Breed were on the side of the conservatives in that case. California is home to about 123,000 unsheltered people who live in tents, trailers, cars, and makeshift shelters, according to The Guardian. So where are these people supposed to go? City officials across the state have different answers to that question. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass slammed the Supreme Court ruling, saying it should not be used as an excuse for cities across the country to arrest their way out of the problem or hide the homelessness crisis in neighboring cities or in jails. Neither will work, neither will save lives, and that route is more expensive for taxpayers than actually solving the problem. Again, says Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who sided with the conservative justices, said the city is planning a very aggressive sweep.
And we're hopeful we make it so uncomfortable for people that they accept our offer. That's what this is about. This is not just about cleaning and clearing, because these are people and they got to go somewhere. But we are going to make them so uncomfortable on the streets of San Francisco that they have to take our offer. That really is the goal of what we're trying to accomplish.
On August 1st, Mayor Breed, who is facing a tough re-election race, announced a directive ordering all city departments and staff to offer unhoused people bus tickets out of town before offering other services, including shelter or housing. We reached out to Governor Newsom and Mayor Breed's offices, but we have not heard back. Joining us are three guests. Andrea Henson is an attorney who's lived in encampments to protect the rights of her unhoused clients during sweeps. She was arrested yesterday for chaining herself to a fence to protest a homeless encampment sweep on Caltrans property beneath Interstate 580 in Oakland. Andrea Henson is executive director of Where Do We Go, a nonprofit formed in 2019 by a movement of people experiencing homelessness along the I-80 freeway in Berkeley. She says Governor Newsom's order is ill-informed and says it punishes the poor. Hi, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. We're also joined by Sharon Report, California State Policy Director at the Corporation for Supportive Housing, an organization that works to advance affordable housing aligned with services as an approach to help people thrive. Hi, Sharon. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And Lajay Harper is a former Wood Street encampment resident, which was at one time the largest encampment in Oakland. Lajay Harper now lives at Homefulness in East Oakland. Hi, Lajay. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks to all of you. I also want to give out the phone number for listeners. Where do you stand on sweeps? What do you think of the Supreme Court decision? And then California Governor Gavin Newsom's executive order. What is happening where you live? What changes have you seen on the streets? And what are your thoughts on what is going on here? The big question is, you sweep people out. Where are they supposed to go? And then, of course, we're going to talk about what happens in the process. All of the documents, possible medications, things they lose in that traumatic process. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Andrea, before we talk about your work and yesterday's arrest, can you just give us an overview of what changed as a result of the Supreme Court decision?
Well, there's definitely an arrogance among state and local government in terms of sweeps. Law enforcement, there's a coordinated effort to remove people. I've seen all over the East Bay and in San Francisco, as we know. So I think that changed. And you hear folks on Nextdoor saying, you know, we need to pick everybody up, put them in institutions, force them into jail. And I think that with the governor sending out his executive order, he's basically signed off on an era of terror that we've never seen before. It's very disheartening. We're seeing cases now that are getting dismissed because of the Grants Pass ruling. We definitely have a fight ahead of us.
Can you talk more about this? What does San Francisco Mayor London Breed mean when she says very aggressive sweep and saying we have to make it so uncomfortable for people that they accept our offer? What does that look like on the streets?
I think we've been seeing reports where they're not providing notice, or they're moving people, or they're telling them they're going to arrest them. There was a video going around, a viral video, where a guy was trying to hold on to his tent while they were pulling it away from him. The fact that they're telling them to get out because they don't want to see them, and the fact that they're not providing any sort of grievance and appeal process for homeless individuals. We don't know where they're trying to place them. I've had clients where they've wanted to say, you know, take this temporary shelter, and the shelter's completely infested with bed bugs and lice. But they said to the public, right, they're refusing shelter. I would much rather, as a human being, stay in a tent rather than be placed in a facility where literally I've seen my clients where we've had to take them to the emergency room because lice were jumping off of them at the shelter. I think we need to build in protections for the homeless individuals. Find out, why are people refusing the services in San Francisco? We need to go into their shelters and see what's happening there. People don't want to sleep on the street, right? There's a reason for all of these responses. And I think it requires oversight and investigation. That's the responsible thing.
Have you gone into shelters?
Yes, I haven't stayed in shelters because they're pretty strict. And the thing about shelters is they don't allow people to visit. So they keep things under wraps. I've had clients who've taken pictures, you know, where there's black mold on the walls. There's rodents. There's sexual assault, there's trafficking. And so when they prevent visitors or people from coming in, they want to hide what's going on.
Sharon, what would you add? What has changed since the Supreme Court decision and then Governor Newsom's executive order?
Well, I completely agree with what's been said so far. I do think that it is emboldening cities and counties to take much more aggressive action. But the strategies in the governor's executive order are not new or different from what our response has been for decades, since mass homelessness began in the 80s. And we know from data that these strategies do not work. We have studies to show that the strategies not only fail to move people off the streets, but they actually make it much harder for our homeless response systems to help people exit homelessness.
Andrea, I know that you have to leave in about 5 minutes. And so since you represent unhoused people, what is it going to take to get to the root of the problem, because we're getting emails from people who are talking about what's happening in their cities. Here's one from Suzanne. In Fairfax, for over 2 years, we've had a homeless encampment in our town near a children's playground and a baseball diamond used by our little league. There have been many police incidents. This encampment is also near the town hall, the police station, and a fire station. There's been a serious fire where a resident of the encampment attempted to injure another camper. There's public defecation, urination. We can't go back to our park. We hear these stories over and over again, and people are so frustrated by this issue. What is it going to take to get to the root of the problem rather than moving people from block to block or putting people in jail? And, you know, everyone we have on the show say that is not a solution, even people who in some cases support the Supreme Court decision.
I think we have to be very honest. Poverty is not pretty, and we have a lot of it. There's a lot of systemic things that are built in. There's absolutely no oversight. In April 2024, the California auditor released an audit of homeless programs. The state spent over $24 billion with little oversight. And so what I see with my clients, and I'm with them every day fighting, is there is no oversight. There are no homeless protection boards that will make sure when they get into a shelter that they can file complaints and that they're fairly investigated. Because all of this money is going somewhere to resource providers who aren't getting the job done. And why is that? I think we have to have stronger laws for the homeless and for providers. Require in requests for quotes when we're hiring, when cities and states are hiring these service providers, that they provide very clear success metrics. When you do outreach, typically meaningful outreach will be to sign someone up for coordinated entry, get them on the path to housing, continue to work with them, get their papers signed, et cetera, file their reasonable accommodation requests. What I see is that an outreach worker will come out, hand someone a bag of Cheetos and a bottle of water and never come back. And then the city will say, oh, well, they refused services, or they weren't cooperative. We went out and did outreach. But what does that mean? How many millions of dollars are going toward that? And I think we don't have legal services. There's about, I think, two or three attorneys in the East Bay who do what we do. A lot of them do big litigation. But if we funded it in the same way that we provide tenant protections to prevent evictions, that we provided oversight over the housing subsidies and things like that, I think we would see a turnaround. If we gave the homeless individuals a voice. So, for example, you hear a lot of folks say, we don't want encampments by our libraries or by parks or by little leagues. Individuals, human beings are living everywhere. We need to find places where we can allow people to stay, provide services, porta potties, et cetera, send clinicians out to speak to them. Currently, most cities don't have actual clinicians going out and talking to people, establishing a relationship and providing support and trust. I think we really have to pull back the layers of what's going on. We can't pick up and jail everyone. I'm not going to jail a whole bunch of service disabled veterans who are having mental challenges. Because if you talk to the folks on the street, you'll find a lot of trauma, a lot of mental illness. And I think we could come up with better solutions. To say that we're just going to sweep them, folks know this is a huge problem. It's not going away. Homelessness continues to grow. And the report said that even though the state of California spent $24 billion, homelessness increased. So even though the governor, you had that intro where he says, we're going to spend all of this money, we're going to build all these institutions, what oversight is in place? The same organization, the council, the interagency on homelessness, the council or interagency on homelessness, I'm sorry, they're the ones who didn't provide oversight for that $24 billion. Did you know in the governor's new executive order, that same council is in charge of best practices right now? Did his office not read the audit of who didn't oversee the $24 billion? So I think that leadership really needs to stop trying to just, you know, hide people, push them out of cities, drive them out, terrorize them. I think we need to deal with the issues on the street. If people, you know, if we need to keep things clean, work with people. We've done that here in Berkeley. We've stopped all sweeps here in Berkeley. My organization has paid for contractors, and we've partnered with the city to leave encampments in place, but they're clean. We're providing support. We're providing, we're moving trash for them because, you know, that's what we need to do to improve people's lives and get them on a path that's realistic and where they're not being taken advantage of by the resource providers who are getting millions with no accountability.
Ah, well, I know we have to let you go, Andrea, but we'd love to have you back to really go deeper into all of this because it is such an important issue. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and I would love to come back.
Thank you. Andrea Henson is executive director of Where Do We Go, a nonprofit formed in 2019 by a movement of people experiencing homelessness along the I-80 freeway in Berkeley. She has lived in encampments to protect the rights of her unhoused clients. She was arrested yesterday for chaining herself to a fence to protest a sweep on Caltrans property beneath Interstate 580 in Oakland. And you can read more about what happened yesterday and more about her work at KALW.org, click news, and then your call. Today, we're also joined by Sharon Report, California State Policy Director at the Corporation for Supportive Housing, an organization that works to advance affordable housing aligned with services as an approach to help people thrive. Lajay Harper is a former Wood Street encampment resident, which was at one time the largest encampment in Oakland. Lajay now lives at Homefulness in East Oakland. We reached out to Governor Newsom and Mayor Breed's offices, but we have not heard back. If you'd like to join us, what are your thoughts on this ongoing homeless crisis? So we have the Supreme Court ruling, the sixth conservative justice ruling that cities can fine and arrest homeless people for sleeping in public spaces, even if they have nowhere to go. And then California Governor Gavin Newsom issues an executive order directing officials to clear thousands of encampments. So obviously politicians have different views on this. You've got LA Mayor Karen Bass slamming the ruling, say it's not an excuse to arrest people. And then you have San Francisco Mayor London Breed saying we are going to do a very aggressive sweep and we're going to offer people bus tickets out of town before offering services. So what are your thoughts on this? What is happening in your area? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Lajay, thank you for waiting patiently there. Andrea had to leave with us, so we wanted to make sure we got her perspective here in here. You are a former Wood Street encampment resident. This was one of the largest encampments in Oakland. Would you mind first telling us a bit about your background and how you ended up at Wood Street?
Yeah, I mean, I was working in a nonprofit and, you know, it was around the time where there was a lot of budget cuts that were happening. And it just, we took a huge budget cut. And so I lost my job at the time. I'm a single mother of two young women now. They're young women. And I started off actually at People's Park in Berkeley. And the way that Berkeley deals with homeless people, with the three institutions, like they have UCPD, BART Police, and Berkeley Police Department, was to incarcerate. We would have a trend that every summer, right before the new students come, I mean, you had to watch your back because they were going to try to arrest you. So that kind of pushed me into West Oakland, where I could have a tent. Because also just being out in the community, going to the grocery store, going around, if you're carrying everything that you own on your back, you're already dealing with this big stigma. Oh, this person is homeless. They're probably going to steal this, that, and the other. So, I came to West Oakland, which was actually behind Target, is where we started. And just started living, and then more and more people came down there. But what I wanted to say is that the difference about Wood Street is we were tired of being swept. And so we said, let's get together, us residents over here, and let's work with them. Let's do something different. So we started having meetings with Caltrans specifically because they were the ones that were sweeping us. And we're like, look, we're going to clean up. So you don't have to come over here and throw people's stuff away. And they're like, yeah, okay, you can clean up. We organized this huge weekend cleanup. I mean, we ordered bobcats and we had like over 100 volunteers come and help us. And then we got a message from Caltrans saying, stop. You're not qualified to clean up this garbage. Don't do it anymore. And we're like, what? I mean, we're trying to work with you here. And so we've gotten a lot of runaround from Caltrans and other organizations. And also I wanted to say that the police were telling us, go to Wood Street. We won't mess with you anymore. They put up K-rails. They brought porta potties down there. And then once they saw that a lot of people were migrating to Wood Street, then it became a problem for folks. But we were actually told to move down there.
And we'll get more of your story, Leger, after a break, and just what it was like for you when you first had no choice but to live on the streets, and then what you think about what is happening right now. I know we have to let Sharon report go in just a couple minutes. So, Sharon, can you jump in here and talk about what it will take to get to the root of this crisis? Suzanne wrote in again from Fairfax and said, you know, we've had many services contact the group. They refuse. They're doing meth and things like that. No one is trying to terrorize or drive them out. We want them to have housing. They don't want it. We've provided porta potties. They still don't use them. I mean, everyone obviously has a different experience with this. Everybody's got their own story. And we know that so many things like this are happening up and down the state of California. So at the end of the day, what is it going to take to get to the root of this crisis?
Well, everybody deserves to be safe and have a clean environment, but that includes those who cannot afford the cost of housing in one of the most expensive states for rent in the country. All evidence points to what the cause of homelessness is, which is housing, is also the solution to homelessness. Californians deserve to have their government spend money on strategies that work, and those strategies include really reversing the executive order and focusing on a better way forward based on data-driven, equitable, and fiscally responsible solutions, including necessary investments in housing and services. These include funding housing subsidies at scale. As I mentioned, housing is the solution to homelessness. And really the reason why people fall into homelessness is they can't afford their rent. We do have the most expensive rent in the country. We should also be leveraging insights from people who have lived experience of homelessness. We have seen from a Benioff Housing and Homelessness Institute study that the number one reason people fall into homelessness is they simply cannot afford their rent. And when asked, would you take housing to exit homelessness? Everybody says yes. People want housing. And I think Andrea mentioned some of the issues with shelters. Shelters are simply not the solution to homelessness. We should be working in coordination with, instead of competition with, local governments. The state should be working in coordination with local governments to ensure people receive evidence-based approaches to assisting them in encampments. And usually that assistance takes a lot longer than 48 hours, because it really does involve working with people to get them into housing and the services that they may need to stay stably housed. Accelerating new affordable housing development and repairing and preserving existing supportive and affordable housing is really critical to help us solve our affordable housing crisis in general, which again caused our homeless crisis. We should be mobilizing our health teams to really work with people on the street and really providing people with the services that they need means connecting them to what's available now, but also connecting them to whatever treatment they might need.
And just quickly before you go, Sharon, we have a couple questions from someone who couldn't stand the line. What is the exact legal definition of an encampment?
Oh, that's a great question. I do think that there is not really a legal definition of an encampment. I think that when people talk about sweeping an encampment, they're really talking about people who are homeless on the street, living in community. And generally, people want community. A lot of people want to be with other people who are experiencing homelessness so that they don't feel as isolated. Homelessness is an extremely socially isolating experience. And so lots of times when people have their tent next to other people who have tents and they're sharing resources and they're basically feeling more safe because they're together. That is generally what we mean when we talk about an encampment, but there really isn't a legal definition of encampment.
And quickly, do you know where these bus tickets are taking people? If you say, I want to go to Seattle, do you then get a bus ticket for Seattle? Do you have to prove that you have contacts or family there? Do you know?
I don't know. I really don't understand what the intent is with the bus tickets. We do know that cities all over the country have tried to remove people experiencing homelessness from their cities by providing them transportation. And sometimes it is transportation across the country. The problem with that is it doesn't solve the problem. I mean, when we see city after city trying these things, we see that it really doesn't address the root causes of homelessness. And so if you're not addressing the root causes of homelessness, you're going to have more people falling into homelessness, which we see is true right now. Since the pandemic, we have seen more people falling into homelessness than ever before. And it is simply because the cost of housing is going up much faster than people's incomes. And they cannot afford rent. And so if you're not addressing that issue, people are going to continue to fall into homelessness and you can't move everybody out of your city. So it is a similar approach to a sweep. It's traumatizing, stigmatizing. It's basically telling people, we don't want you here. And it's not it's not a personal failure. It's a systemic failure. And until cities recognize that this is a systemic failure and really address the root causes by funding housing at scale on an ongoing basis, which the state has yet to do, then we will not see decreases in homelessness.
Sharon Report is the California State Policy Director at the Corporation for Supportive Housing. They work to advance affordable housing aligned with services as an approach to help people thrive. We will definitely do many more shows about this, Sharon. We'd love to have you back. Thank you for joining us.
I'd love to join again. Thanks so much, Rose.
Thank you. Joining us for the rest of the hour is LeJay Harper, a former Wood Street encampment resident, which was at one time the largest encampment in Oakland. She now lives at Homefulness in East Oakland. Today, we are talking about the homeless crisis in California and really across the country. In late June, the six conservative justices on the Supreme Court ruled that cities can fine and arrest homeless people for sleeping in public spaces, even if they have nowhere else to go. 2 weeks ago, California Governor Gavin Newsom issued an executive order directing officials to clear thousands of homeless encampments. So what are your thoughts? Where do you stand? What is happening in your city? And what do you think it'll take to get to the root of this crisis? This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow on our media roundtable, we will discuss coverage of the presidential election. What are your thoughts so far now that Vice President Kamala Harris has chosen Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to be her running mate? What do you think of the media's coverage of Governor Walz's progressive record? That is tomorrow. You can listen to all of our past shows and find our series on Project 2025 at kalw.org. Click News and then Your Call. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea or thoughts about how you'd like us to cover the upcoming election, we'd love to hear from you. Your call at kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's conversation about the homeless crisis in California and across the country, Where do you stand on sweeps? What is happening in your area? What will it take to get to the root of this crisis? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We're joined by Lejay Harper, a former Wood Street encampment resident, which was at one time the largest encampment in Oakland. Lejay, I'm so glad that we have you on the show today because a lot of the conversations around this crisis are missing people with direct experience. So what was it like for you when you had no choice but to live on the streets? And anything you can tell us that you think is missing from all of these conversations we're hearing about the homeless crisis?
Well, I just want to say one thing is that when we talk about people refusing services, for one thing, in the beginning, when I was first on the streets in 2012, I had both of my small children with me and I tried to call shelters on my own. I called 5 shelters in one day and could not find a bed. And so when they're saying that people are refusing services, they're not being completely honest. It's very hard to get into shelters. You have to wait all day. They make you leave early in the morning. And, you know, and also I wanted to say that a lot of times when you were speaking earlier about people, you know, not using porta potties, our experience on Wood Street is they wouldn't come dump them regularly. So they're not spending the money, the taxpayers' money's right. What I do want to talk about, though, that really works, and that's where I live at now, and it's homefulness, and it's our poor people's solution to homelessness. It's a community of people over here, a very healing community. We also do community service. We have a school over here. We give out groceries. We're actually giving out groceries today, but it's keeping us in this interdependent community. I've seen a lot of friends that have received housing in the last year, and they're completely like depressed and they're sad because now they're put way far away from all the resources there where they knew where to get stuff at. And they're just kind of isolated. And so, yeah, I think like really using the taxpayers' money, one, having people that really care about the encampment, I mean, the unhoused community, and not just getting a paycheck is what could really be helpful, keeping people in their communities.
And what do you think, given your experience, will it take to get to the root of this crisis? I mean, in your case, can you remind us again, you said that the nonprofit you worked for shut down?
Yes. Well, they had a lot of budget cuts and they needed to take a little break for a minute. And so I had lost my job. I was and then lost my housing and my car and everything within a 3-month time frame. But what it is that they're acting like everybody who's experiencing homelessness fits into this one cookie mold, you know? And there's different reasons why people, maybe it's a lack of income, maybe it's a lack of education, maybe it's a substance abuse problem, maybe it's mental health. There can't be this one band-aid fix, and that's what we see they're doing with these tough sheds and these temporary RV lots. And another thing I want to say, too, is that with these systems that they have in place to help people get housing, once you're put into an RV lot or a tough shed, that bumps you down as priority because they're seeing that you're housed, and so you don't get housing right away, or, you know, other people that are on the list go before you. And
well, we have a number of callers on the line, so let's take a few and then we will ask Lejay to respond. Let's hear from Nomi in San Francisco. Hi, Nomi, thank you for holding.
Hi, thank you. I am so happy that you have a person who's experiencing homelessness and who has to be able to speak, and so thank you so much. She raises all these really important issues that people are really taking for granted. I first want to say that shelter is not housing. It is not. And, you know, what I think the previous person who does policy work spoke about this, but I really think that, you know, it should be illegal for cities to give House was people bus tickets to go to other cities to exasperate the homeless crisis in other cities. It's really no different than like Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who was forcing migrants on a bus to other cities. It's like treating people like literally like they're trash. And I think that's really a crisis in human rights and civil rights, really. And lastly, I just want to talk about the isolation that sweeping people is really, there's a profound loss of understanding of what is community. You know, there's a community out there, whether we like it or not. There are communities in these populations of folks that are on the street or in different places, and those communities are important. They keep them alive. They keep them engaged. So for you to think that you're going to take somebody and throw them in a whole SRO or something, and SROs are not housing, and throw them away somewhere, and that they're not going to be able, they're not going to come back to be with the community is ridiculous. Nobody wants to be isolated and alone. These communities are significant for emotional, psychological health for the people who are experiencing houselessness. And that's all. I just wanted to add that. I think that Mayor London Breed and Gavin Newsom should be ashamed of themselves. They have spent, they have wasted billions of dollars. Billions. I've been a San Francisco resident since 92. They're not doing anything to help. And all they can think about is their political careers. It's election time. Let's put them on the street and then and fake out to the citizenry.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Nomi. Sorry to cut you off. We have a number of people on the line. In case people are just tuning in, Nomi brought up the bus tickets. So on August 1st, Mayor London Breed, San Francisco Mayor London Breed, announced a directive ordering all city departments and staff to offer unhoused people bus tickets out of town before offering other services, including shelter or housing. And Nomi, we're definitely going to do more shows about this, including to really follow the money, because that is so important. So thank you so much for calling. We'll get a response from Leger Harper after we take a few more calls. Let's go to John of Market Street Cycles. Hi, John. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for doing a great show once again. So I'm standing here looking out two levels of security gate and security glass at the very homeless encampment where the last time I was robbed, they took all my bikes before they were moved to another location. The people that are in there are not homeless parents. Are not people trying to do anything else except for get high on fentanyl and meth and crack. All day, they're not going to go anywhere that they can't do that, and that place does not exist. And so I guess my question is, they get to stay there until what? Everybody's talking about all these things that are not solutions, and I completely agree. The fundamental causes of homelessness, poverty, systemic poverty, the rich getting richer, couldn't agree more. So does that encampment across from me get to stay there until there is a solution? And I'll tell you what the city's, this new plan is going to do. They're just going to push them into the unwanted areas of town, like Mid-Market, where I'm located. Nobody's going to push them to Pacific Heights. No one's going to push them outside the mayor's residence. They wouldn't put up with that. They're not going to Presidio Terrace. They're coming here. It's just going to be a game of whack-a-mole like it always is, forcing the poor to feed on the poor. Zero solutions, nothing but a photo op.
John, given that you run a small business and we've heard similar sentiments from so many small business owners, I mean, it's a big question, but what are your thoughts on solutions? What are you hearing from colleagues and other people who have businesses in your neighborhood?
I know a lot of people, including my wife, who have been working in outreach and harm reduction for decades. And basically, the big picture is going to have to look something like what Portugal is doing. And I am all for saying, look, you can go into treatment or else. Like, these people cannot take care of themselves. It is beyond them for the great majority of the people in the camp and across from us. They're hunched over all day unless they're out trying to get more drugs or steal something in order to get more drugs. They're not going anywhere. It's going to have to be you will come in to get treatment.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, we haven't even brought up the overdose epidemic. I'm just looking at a piece in the Chronicle from last month. 48 people died in June in San Francisco from accidental overdoses. The 48 additional deaths brings the 2024 total to 374 deaths so far. Tragically, I'm guessing it's higher than that because I'm reading from a piece of around this time last month. And we'll definitely have to do shows about that too, because it's very connected. Thank you so much for the call, John. We'll get a response in just a minute. Let's go next to Misha in San Francisco. Hi, Misha.
Hello. Yes. This is Lisa. I'm sorry.
Oh, hi, Lisa. Sorry about that.
I think that in response to your question about solutions, I think is for, I remember back in 1988 during Jesse Jackson's campaign, the homeless issue was, I was a young photographer taking, you know, and working in different communities. And honestly, we're spending, in 2020, if you look at the data from the Campaign for Palestinian Rights, in 2020, San Francisco's share to Israel was $13.4 million. That would have been enough to pay for the salaries of 144 elementary school teachers. And all these budget cuts that have been going on, there's no reason for these budget cuts. We are a very rich country. It's just that the money's not going where it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And in response to the fact that a lot of these organizations that are spending lots of money, it's true, there is no oversight of how things are going. And, you know, honestly, the situation is that we're losing progressive candidates left and right because our political system is completely corrupted by AIPAC. Completely corrupted by AIPAC.
Well, thank you for that. You're talking about Representative Cori Bush losing her race in St. Louis on Tuesday. I don't have the numbers offhand. Let me just check this out online. AIPAC spent, I'm just looking for this in real time here. We did this show also about Jamal Bowman. $9 million, according to Axios. Thank you for that. And the military budget under Joe Biden for 2025 is $850 billion. So you bring up a point about funding and priorities. Thank you, Lisa. Let's take one more caller, and then I want to spend some more time with Lejay Harper, a former Wood Street encampment resident. Let's go to Nabil in San Jose. Hi, Nabil. Nabil, are you still there? Okay, let's go to Anna in Berkeley. Hi, Anna.
Hi, I just want to say that myself and several others who've been living in our vehicles for several years because of lack of housing affordability, that's the real issue. We don't touch drugs. We don't drink at all. We don't do anything except live on a limited income that is not, prices us out of the market. We simply can't afford housing, and a lot of us are elderly and disabled, and we're out here just scraping by and doing what we can. So to characterize everyone, I feel like constantly we're being, you know, painted with the same brush of like criminals who are out to harm children and use drugs all day long. That's not the case at all for many, many people who are unable to afford housing here and who used to be able to live here quite decently and contributed to schools and libraries and everything else.
Anna, can I ask you, living in a vehicle on the streets, are you also asked to move on a regular basis?
No, because I don't live in an encampment.
Okay.
And we don't group together. There are many people who are living in vehicles who don't group together and who keep their vehicles clean and registered. Mm. And, you know, we're like, basically, there's nothing. We don't have criminal records. You know, we're not hiding from the law. Nothing like that.
Wow.
You know, we have, it's really dire. It's gotten to the... You know, and we're low income. Most of us are low income citizens who simply cannot, you know, work for one reason or another. In my case, I have a disability, and, you know, so And not only that, but there are people who are actually who do have jobs who are living in their vehicles. I meet many of them on the street. And, you know, we share food, we try to give each other information, but we don't utilize the housing resources either because they're run like cartels. They take information from us, and then they use that information to get money, but, you know, very little is actually spent on us.
Anna,
if anything.
What would you like listeners to know about your experience and what, I mean, what it's like to live in a car? How, what about safety issues? What about showering and going to the bathroom, things like that?
Well, like everything else, you have to be savvy. You have to know where the safe spots are, and you have to find the bathrooms and, you know, utilize, this defecating and urinating in the street. I can't imagine that. That's ridiculous. You use coffee shops and grocery stores and, you know, improvise. But people are not, I don't know. I just get this image from people who are calling in to complain. I understand, you know, there are many people who abuse the privilege of living in the society. But we're doing the best. Many of us are just doing the best we can to live decently without housing, and it's really hard.
Anna, thank you so much for calling. Would you mind giving your phone number to our engineer, Kevin Vance, because we'd love to have you back on the show?
Oh, all right, sure.
Okay, thank you so much for calling, Anna. We're joined by LaJay Harper, a former Wood Street encampment resident who now lives at Homefulness in East Oakland. LaJay, Anna's story is just heartbreaking. I mean, anyone's story who lives on the street is just heartbreaking. To think about things that most of us don't even think twice about, getting up to go to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, washing your hands. I mean, just basic functions. Can you just talk about how difficult it is to survive out there?
I mean, yeah. I mean, and Anna just proved the point that there is no one cookie cutter mold to deal with the unhoused right now, that there's people all different ages, all different backgrounds, all different issues of why they're homeless. Yes, I mean, it is hard. And I'm just going to share a little bit. I have 14 months clean off of drugs myself, but I couldn't imagine living on the streets without being under some type of, you know, substance. It's hard, especially being a single woman out there. Not to like say, oh, then there's an excuse for people to use drugs, but it's just so traumatic outside, living outside, not knowing those things. And yeah, all I can say is stop looking at us like these things, like something that isn't human, but look at us like a human being, like the mothers and the fathers and the daughters and the aunties that we are, you know, and then have compassion when you're thinking about the community. The community is a whole. The community is the rich people, but it's also the poor people. And when people start to look at us like individuals and not group us together, like they can just, you know, handle everything in one big whoop wop, then maybe they'll start to address it. And again, solutions like Homefulness, where I just want to say that on the 17th, we are doing a big community event at 7600 MacArthur because we have Homefulness too. And it's a whole new land right down the street where we will bring in more people that are unhoused to live there rent free for life. And so hopefully folks can come out and get resources and learn about the work that we do here at Poor Magazine Homefulness.
Yeah, we would love to do more shows about this. To your point about how not everyone is the same, everybody's got their own story. We're getting a lot of emails from people who say, we're so empathetic, but sometimes there's people screaming in the neighborhood, and it's dangerous for our family with young children. We just got an email from Svi about what it's like to live in their Mission District. And this is, I think you make such a good point, Leger, that needs to be heard more, is that people who are on the streets sometimes spiral, even if they don't want to, because of how difficult it is. And whether that means turning to drugs or alcohol or a mental illness just gets worse. In these cases where it's a pretty extreme case, at that point, how do you deal with that? How do you help?
I mean, for one of the things, like on Wood Street, there was a lot of businesses down there, and it's just like, talk to us. If there's issues that you have, try to approach the person, you know, within reason for your safety or whatever, but see what's going on first before you involve the police and the law enforcement, because then that adds another layer of terror and things in people's lives. But a lot of times people treat us like we're aliens, like we can't speak English. And sometimes, you know, maybe that person yelling in the street is running from somebody because they're going through some kind of violence. You never know. But just to assume that, you know, they're just unapproachable is crazy. It's really crazy to me.
Well, and another fact, and this deserves so much more attention, according to the National Alliance to End Homelessness, older adults are the fastest growing segment of people experiencing homelessness and the largest mm-hmm. share of people who are experiencing homelessness for the first time. So there's mm-hmm. so many more older people out there. I'm sure you saw that at the Wood Street encampment.
There is. I mean, honestly, Rose, the face of homelessness has changed. There's a lot of young people out there too. When we think about children that are just getting thrown out of the foster care system. And, you know, of course, with people with fixed incomes, how can they afford to live comfortably? And so, yeah, there's a lot of all different kind of people. There's lawyers and there's teachers and just, you know, people from all walks of life on the streets now, because it's so hard to live in California with all of the cost of living out here. But I wanted to say really quickly about
we're almost out of time, but go ahead, just briefly.
I was just going to say that you have to have somebody from whatever state you're trying to get a ticket to verify that you have somewhere to come once you get there. And so why London Breed is proposing that is because they're assuming that a lot of people that are unhoused in San Francisco or in California don't live here. And that's untrue. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have lived here our whole lives.
Leger Harper is a former Wood Street encampment resident. She now lives at Homefulness in East Oakland. Leger, thank you so much for joining us, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you, and I would love to come back. I have a lot to say.
Thank you, and we will definitely do more shows about this. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.